Welcome to your Tuesday morning wake-up call here on Sports Country Radio. And this is a show about sports, but because of everything going on with the coronavirus right now, I thought that it would be a good idea to get an expert to talk about this, because I am certainly not a doctor, nor do I play one on television. But I've got an expert here to talk about this. I'd like to welcome Dr. Gina Carucci of Carucci Chiropractic. She also deals with holistic primary care and naturopathic medicine in her practice. Barbara and I have been going to her for years. Good morning, Dr. Carucci. How are you?
Good morning, Gene. I'm great, thanks.
Well, good. Look, the average person sitting at home right now hears coronavirus and panics. Two things. First of all, how concerned should the average American be? And second, what are the basic things that they can do to minimize their risk?
Well, the average person should be, and this is according to the CDC, I listened to a briefing last night, and they said approximately 80% of the population will come in contact with it and have minimal to no symptoms. Then there's the 20%, and that's what we've been hearing about from the news, that those that are immunologically challenged, those people that maybe have cancer, those that have diabetes, those with other types of serious conditions, will be the vulnerable ones, and the elderly. People over 65 that have some of these more serious conditions are those, unfortunately, that are most susceptible to contracting this and having the serious consequences that go with it. So the vast majority of us may have it and not even know that we have it. Those are just the facts. We don't know that much yet about the virus. It is spreading quickly. And so this is why you're seeing the experts maybe limit sporting events, limit public gatherings, because of the rate of spread when you are in large areas with lots of people. And so if you feel that you have any symptoms, coughing, fever, self-containment, self-quarantine is one of the best things that you can do to protect others. If you have those symptoms, staying in a smaller area, restricting your travel, will help prevent the spread. And right now, that's our concern as health people, and especially those in the public health arena that are trying to contain this. The sooner we can contain it for an extended period of time, 2 to 4 weeks, the more rapid the rate of decline will be in the terms of new cases arising and the incidence of it in society.
It looks like a cold or flu when it first starts. How do you know as the person what the difference is, and when do you make that decision like, hey, maybe I better go get tested, or maybe I better go see a doctor?
Well, that's a great question. You know, it is going to behave like a cold and or a flu. So you are going to get the runny nose, maybe the scratchy throat. You may get a low-grade fever. If your fever is going, you know, up to 104, and or if you are one of those people that has cancer or that has, you're a fragile diabetic, then when you get those symptoms, then you want to go and get tested so you know, and so your healthcare provider is aware. There's really nothing that we can do to, like an antibiotic. We don't have antibiotics for viruses. We don't have an antiviral for this. So there isn't going to be much that they're going to do other than the good old-fashioned things of laying low, resting, letting your immune system do what it can to develop an immunity to this, staying hydrated, staying away from sugar, drinking plenty of water, having some good organic green tea or ginger tea, taking extra vitamin C and vitamin D, drinking the good old-fashioned chicken soup, chicken broth. Those are things that you're going to do that are going to hydrate your body and give your body the ability that it needs to develop an immune reaction. If it escalates beyond the cough and a fever of 104 and you are one of those immunologically challenged people, you need to get to the doctor, because then if you're having challenged breathing, that's when this becomes a problem.
We've got We tend to overreact in this country, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is maybe you could help me a little bit, in that I tend to I don't want to say I laugh at it, but I get very frustrated by what I sense as panic in people. I mean, I understand it's good to be cautious, but are we as a society going overboard here, or is the amount of, I don't know if publicity is the right word, but the amount of talk about this, is it warranted?
Well, the answer, I would say, you know, yes and no. My personal feeling is that, you know, I do what I do to keep myself healthy, and I'm not afraid of it personally. But there are those that aren't maybe like you or I that are as immunologically strong and do what we do to keep ourselves, are as responsible as we are about our health and well-being. And so because we are, you know, a country where we do have those freedoms, it's in our best interest to be thoughtful of our neighbor, those that don't have the robustness of health that we have, that if we do come in contact with something, to do self-quarantine, to keep yourself more restricted to a smaller area of travel. If you are contaminated, if you do have the cough and the fever, stay home. If you can't stay home and you have to go to an area where there's public people, do mask. Get a mask. It'll help you from spreading it. It's not going to prevent you from getting or help you get better faster, but it's going to help you prevent the spread. And that's what we need right now, is to restrict the spread, the rate of spread.
And I think that's one of the things that, and you made an interesting point there. A lot of people are going out and they're making a run on these masks in the idea that it is going to prevent them from getting this disease. And what you just said is the key here, is that it doesn't prevent you from getting it, but it prevents you from spreading it. And I think, but people don't, I don't think they really understand that.
They don't, because just because you're putting a mask over your nose and your mouth doesn't mean that you're not going to get a droplet of somebody's sputum into your eyes.
Right.
That's another viable way of transmitting it into your body. So that's why the medical people, if you'll see lately, they have those shields that they're wearing, like an iron worker will wear, you know, that shield that covers their face, because now you're protecting all those mucous membranes, which are the vulnerable entry points into our body, the eyes, the nose, the mouth.
The other thing that...
Go ahead. No, that was pretty much it. Just that the mask will help you prevent spreading it.
The other thing that people are losing their minds about, and they can't keep in the stores, and we have people trying to price gouge, is hand sanitizer. I mean, the fact that they can't keep Purell in the stores. But at the same time, Gina, isn't good old fashioned soap and water just as effective as hand sanitizer?
Absolutely, just as effective. The good thing about the hand sanitizer, because they're alcohol based, you put it on, you rub it in, and it dries fairly quickly. The downside to that is overusing that is going to dry the skin out, and then the skin becomes a method of transmission, because if your skin is too porous, it's right.
Yeah,
there you go.
Right.
Right. And the skin is the largest organ we have. So you start to break down the barriers of your skin in addition to your mouth, your eyes, and your nose, and you become even that much more vulnerable. So soap and water is absolutely just as effective. And then what people need to remember is, even if you're overutilizing soap and water and or these alcohol-based hand sanitizers, you really need to lubricate again. So put some hand lotion on, so you're putting the moisture back into your hands and maintaining that barrier of your hands as a method of prevention and protection.
Well, yesterday here in the state of Connecticut, it got to the 70s. With the warm weather and more people getting outside, is that going to help lessen the spread of this disease? Will the warmer weather help? Yeah?
Yes, it does, because of that very factor. Number one is more people are going to get outside, so we tend to be in larger open spaces. Number two, we tend to be more active, and so increasing your activity is going to increase your rate of breathing, which is going to increase your heart rate, which means you're going to get deeper breaths. You're going to get a greater rate of exchange of oxygen, fresh oxygen, into your lungs, and you're going to get rid of what's living in that area faster, number one. Number two, what was I going to say about number two?
It's old age, Gina.
Yeah, no kidding. Then we tend to open our windows,
right?
So we're more inclined to open our windows and air our houses out. So again, you're going to get that fresh air to move through and move the stagnant air that's in our homes from recycling all winter long. And that will then clear out some of the virus and microbiota that's living in our houses. So yes, but there's good reasons, not just because the temperature is going up.
You know, it's funny you said that about opening the windows. I was just going to bring that up. I remember when I was a kid, you know, back in, you know, the old days, my grandmother and my mother always, like, you know, if somebody had a cold, you know, the first thing they did, they wanted to open the windows so that they clear the house out. And I'm like, but I got a cold and I don't feel well. But they opened the windows to help move the air in the house. That's kind of old. That's like old wives' medicine there, isn't it?
Well, that's what they did. That's true, but it's a fact. You know, yeah, you're getting that air exchange, just like exercise. You're getting that air exchange, especially into the deeper aspects of your lungs. So you're going to move some of that air from that dead space where the virus and or bacteria may harbor, because it's warmer, moister, and it's in that deeper part of the lung. So that's why I've been telling people, if you feel well, continue to exercise. Going to the gym is okay, as long as you're not in the face of someone that's sweating and blowing their sweat in your face. Clean your apparatus down, but getting that exercise is really important in this arena of what we're dealing with this virus. Well, and if you're afraid to go to the gym, then do it outside. We're being blessed with beautiful weather.
You mentioned this earlier, and people are staying away from sporting events. In some cases, they're closing them down. They're playing them in front of no fans. We've got the state basketball championships and state hockey championships going on now. What is your advice to people that have kids playing in these games and they want to go to the game? Should they stay home?
Well, if they're really amongst the immunologically challenged people, again, the brittle diabetic, or they recently had an infection of some sort, or maybe recently had a surgery or some severe accident where their body is a little bit weaker and fighting to rebuild whatever that is, then their immune systems aren't going to be as robust in being able to heal from whatever that was and fight the infection. Then they should stay home. And if they really... really need to go, finding a shield, if they could wear some shield to protect them from sputum from close contact to people, or stay afar, stay away, watch from a distance.
Is this our new normal here in the United States? You know, for years over in Asia, you've always seen people in China and Japan always wearing masks anytime there's anything going on. It's not something we've always kind of laughed at that here in the United States. But is this going to be our new normal now?
I hope not. I would say no, because we do have, you know, excellent health care in this country. We are some of the best scientists in studying things like virus and disease, and when we study it, we share the information and we create protocols, strategies, and awareness campaigns so that people can think more rationally and be more respectful of themselves and others, and implement strategy that is effective to prevent this hysteria. We kind of got caught off guard with this one, hopefully we're learning a lesson to get back to being the preeminent health leaders that we are.
So the main takeaway from this, just to kind of put a bow on it, is that by and large, if you're the average American sitting at home and you are, in most cases, you know, basically healthy, you don't have a lot to worry about as far as this goes. You may come in contact with it, but it's not going to kill you. And I think that maybe is the takeaway we need to have. For 99.9% of this country, this isn't something we need to worry about.
That's correct. And that's coming from those that are the virologists, those that study virus and bacteria every day. They estimate, again, the CDC last night said 80% of the population will come in contact with it and have little to no symptoms.
One last thing before I let you go. One quick thing. If you are sitting at home and you want to help prevent from getting this virus, what are the basic things they need to do?
If you want to help prevent from getting it, then those people that are coughing and sneezing, you want to keep a greater than 6-foot distance between you and them so that anything that comes out of their mouth doesn't land in your vulnerable tissues, eyes, nose, and mouth. You want to wash your hands regularly and wash the surfaces that you're touching. So lots of grocery stores might have Santa wipes as you're walking into the store. You can clean the grocery cart, or if you're I walk through the grocery store and hold the grocery cart, and just don't touch your face. Go home and wash your hands before you touch your face. And that requires some consciousness, because most of us, if you have an itch, you go ahead and, rub your nose or what have you. So you have to be thoughtful about this. Getting plenty of rest, right? Sleep is where your immune system does the great bulk of its work. So don't minimize on your sleep. Hydration. Drink plenty of water, 60-plus ounces a day. You need to keep those mucous membranes wet. That's how they defend you. When they become dried is when they're more vulnerable. Staying away from sugar, as I mentioned earlier, that creates more inflammation. That definitely weakens the immune system. There's lots of science that says that. And then exercise. We talked about getting outside, being deliberate, getting out, raising your heart rate, raising your rate of breathing so you're getting more of that oxygen flow. And lastly, opening the windows, turning the ceiling fans on, and airing the house out on some of these warmer days that we've been having.
Well, Dr. Gina Carucci, you're a lot smarter than I am, and I knew I needed somebody to make me feel better. I feel a lot better. Hopefully our listeners feel better as well. Thank you for a few minutes this morning. I certainly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Dr. Gina Carucci here on Sports Country Radio. And again, I've known Gina for a long time, and one of the things that I love about her is that she doesn't panic about anything. My wife and I have both gone to her at times with things that we were concerned about, and she is one of those people that says, okay, and then she listens, and she talks you off the ledge, and so she's done great with that. And one of the first things that when this was first going around, my wife and I actually happened to be in her office not long after that, and she just said immediately, start taking more vitamin D, start taking more vitamin C, and it helps your immune system, and it'll help you fight this thing off. So I appreciate her coming on this morning.